Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back in to a brand new episode of the show. Happy Tuesday all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by our good friends over there, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. I'll tell you about them a little bit later on as the show progresses. But ladies and gentlemen, great to be back with you here on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, where I engage every single day with Broncos country. We post some interesting questions. We use your feedback. We get your feedback here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. And don't forget as well, ladies and gentlemen, Lockdown Broncos is every single day, Monday through Friday. There is an episode, so don't forget to tune in every single day because we have something new for you, whether it be player interviews, coach interviews, reaction to the latest news around Dove Valley. We break it down from an X's and O's standpoint. We look at it from every angle possible as we tackle the Denver Broncos in 2020 NFL season. Today's episode of the show, folks, we got a lot to talk about. The Broncos' first official depth chart has been released. There were some surprises, and then there were not so surprises all across the list here. And we also engage with Twitter as well. A lot of Broncos fans sent in their feedback about what surprised them about the Broncos' depth chart on offense, defense, and special teams for the 2020 NFL season. We break that down on today's episode, Locked On Broncos, right here, right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started. Let's take a look at the offensive side of the ball first for the Denver Broncos. Really no surprises on the offensive line, maybe outside of a couple guys being in a couple different spots outside of where we initially had them projected. The starting quarterback for the Broncos, drum roll please, Drew Lock. I mean, no surprise there, folks. Really, that not even a question here, I think, for a lot of people in Broncos country. He's the guy for 2020. He's going to have 16 games, really, to show the Broncos organization why they should continue to roll with him. And he does have those traits, but he's got to put it to 16 games. He doesn't have to be impressive. He doesn't have to be super flashy. He doesn't have to throw for 5,000 yards, 46 touchdowns. But if he can reduce turnovers, if he can lead the Broncos to some winning games, I think that that's going to be enough. And he's got the leadership qualities, the traits, the characteristics. So Drew Lock will be leading this Broncos team here and 2020, but definitely worth noting at the running back position, the Broncos have both Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay listed as co-starters, in a sense. So there was no outright decision where they come out and say, hey, okay, week one against the Tennessee Titans, which is just 6 days away, the Broncos didn't say Melvin Gordon's getting the start or Philip Lindsay's getting the start. It's got both of them listed there as co-starters. So you could see the Broncos come out on the first play offensively against Tennessee on Monday, and they could just come out on the field together. They could go with a two-back 21 personnel. They could be able to do that. But obviously right now, really not committing to one guy. It's going to be a rotation of those two guys, and obviously Royce Freeman, the third running back here for the Broncos in 2020. I'm really eager to see how the Broncos and Pat Shurmur really decide to utilize all of these players, because they will. And when you go back to the New York Giants with Pat Shurmur offensively, he had Saquon Barkley, a complete workload. I mean, this is a guy that can handle all the duties all game long. The Broncos don't really have a guy like that. They have a running back by committee approach with a variety of players, and I do think that if Royce Freeman, if healthy, the way that we've seen him play when healthy, if he, Melvin Gordon, and Philip Lindsay can really just contribute when they're on the field, when they make the most of their on-field reps and opportunities, the Broncos could have a very, very potent run game. You may not even have a strong need to have to throw the ball as much if you have a really successful run game. And that's really going to start off here with the offensive line. I'll talk about the offensive line here in a moment, but at wide receiver, no surprises for the wide receiver one position. You have Cortland Sutton there when the Broncos go in their base 11 personnel package, which means that there's going to be one running back, one tight end, and three wide receivers on the field when the team comes out in 11 personnel. So that's probably the more likely lineup we're going to see from Denver coming out on Monday night against the Tennessee Titans there. Wide receiver two, they have on the depth chart, they have Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick listed as co-starters, but here's the deal. They don't have a third wide receiver spot on the depth chart initially. So Jerry Jeudy is wide receiver 2, Tim Patrick is wide receiver 3, and the list goes on after that. Deshaun Hamilton is wide receiver 4, and then you have Tyree Cleveland as wide receiver 5, KJ Hamler wide receiver 6 right now, and Deontay Spencer is wide receiver number 7. Not going to be very likely that Deontay Spencer plays any minutes offensively for the Broncos this year, unless they want to get a little bit tricky there. I can imagine we're going to see a condensed formation where Spencer, if he is in the game, will be lined up close to the line of scrimmage, closer to the offensive formation, will be used as a motion guy they may give a jet sweep to. Outside of that, I can't really see him playing much of an offensive role for the Broncos in 2020, but he is the team starting kick return and punt return option. We'll talk about special teams a little bit later on, though. But obviously, I think the key for KJ Hamler is getting healthy, getting into the mix, and seeing what guys in front of him are doing. That way, when he is fully healthy, you know, we're not quite sure just yet as of today whether or not Hamler will be expected to play on Monday night against the Titans. We know that he's still coming back from that hamstring issue, and that could take some time. But expect to see a heavy dosage of Tyree Cleveland, especially on special teams. And you could see him rotate in at wide receiver here for the Broncos week one. Tight end, Noah Fant's the starter, and behind him, it's Nick Vannette, the Broncos' key offseason acquisition there at the tight end position via free agency. And then Jake Butt is listed as the number 3 tight end for the Broncos. Just really feel good for him. Albert Okwuegbunam still developing. So it's not that surprising to really expect Okwuegbunam to be the last tight end on the Broncos' depth chart at the tight end position on the active roster. I think that he's going to learn. They're still going to work him in because each of these tight ends have different skill sets. Fant, you can flex him out inside, outside. You can put him in line. Vannette's going to be more, I think, of that fullback hybrid type guy that you're going to see there. And then Jake Butt is a guy that could play tight end, also play that fullback role that the Broncos will utilize in some ways. Or I don't like to necessarily call it fullback. I like to call it an H-back, and you're going to see that there. And Albert Okwuegbunam was also one of those wild card guys you can flex inside or outside, and also in line. His blocking has improved, according to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. So that lines out the tight end position. Andrew Beck is listed as the team's fullback. Not sure how often they'll use a fullback offensively going into the season or even throughout it all. I imagine it's probably going to be under 10% of offensive snaps altogether. Now we get to the offensive line here. Left tackle, it's Garrett Bowles, and backing him up is Calvin Anderson. No surprise there. Anderson was one of those players the Broncos stashed away on the 53 last year that nobody really talked about, and so he's been developing nicely. He's had a nice training camp. He's going to back up Garrett Bowles there at left tackle. And at left guard, you got Dalton Risner obviously returning to the starting role here. The surprise to me was seeing Austin Schlottman listed as the number 2 guy at left guard behind Risner, when initially I expected him to be the number 2 guy behind Graham Glasgow, because when Glasgow was not practicing last week with his ankle injury, we got to see a lot of Austin Schlottman at right guard. So that was a little surprise for me. Lloyd Cushenberry, the Broncos rookie, officially named the starting center for the 2020 NFL season. Good for him. Austin Schlottman backing him up as well. The Broncos feel like they have 2 guys there at their 2 deep that can really help out if the rookie struggles or if he gets hurt. They believe Schlottman can step in and do a pretty good job. He did start against Houston last year for the Broncos, so keep that in mind. The Broncos' big offensive coming-out party against Deshaun Watson and the Texans from last year. Right guard, you got Graham Glasgow. And then Etani Mutie, he's going to be wearing number 52 now rather than 73 as he was early in the offseason. And Etani Mutie is going to be backing up Graham Glasgow at right guard. So if something comes up with Graham Glasgow, his ankle is not right, we could expect to maybe see a little bit of a dosage of Etani Mutie. And then a right tackle, no surprise, Elijah Wilkinson starting at the right tackle position, and veteran offensive lineman DeMar Dotson backing him up there. So that rounds out the Denver Broncos offensive depth chart. And Broncos country, I'm eager to hear, were there any surprises in your opinion as to the Broncos offensive depth chart, where players are at, so on and so forth? If so, let me know on Twitter at Lockdown Broncos and at Cody Rourke NFL. Looking forward to hearing from you, Broncos country, and I can't wait to speak with you all then. But coming up here in just a moment, we are going to be diving into the Broncos defensive depth chart for the 2020 NFL season. We're talking about surprises, and then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to hear from listeners of Lockdown Broncos on some of the surprises that they noted from the depth chart reveal yesterday in Broncos country. But before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there, rockauto.com. And right now, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it now seems impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why should you have to go look around and often endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning from the counterman while he sits behind his counter and orders parts off his computer, choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry? When you have computer access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years, and that's why I rock with RockAuto.com, because family is everything. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they have everything that you're looking for, whether it's an engine control module for your vehicle, whether it's a new vehicle or an old vehicle, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet for your vehicle. That's something that you need. If you spilled something, spilled a slushie at 7-Eleven, and you need new carpet, guess what? RockAuto.com has it for you today. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you get everything you need in just a few easy clicks, and it's all delivered directly to your doorstep. That's why I like it, because it's convenient, and I get the right brand, the right specifications, and the prices that I prefer through RockAuto.com and their unique catalog, which is super easy to navigate. It allows me to go through and look by make, model, and year, and I get to see all the parts available for my vehicle. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, Broncos country, diving into the defensive depth chart here for the Denver Broncos on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. Just a reminder, folks, Locked On Broncos is every single day. We want you guys to listen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We have stuff for you all week long. Mondays, we have game recaps. Well, obviously, this upcoming Monday is going to be a final game preview. Next Tuesday is going to be the recap from the Broncos-Titans Monday Night Football game. But we have Crossover Thursday returning, where we talk with the opposing team's local expert, and we talk to them about the matchup and what we could expect from both sides, offensively, defensively, from the Broncos' upcoming opponent, plus a lot of guest coaches and player appearances all across the league. So we've got all that action for you here on Locked On Broncos and your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, or Spotify. Check out Locked On Broncos every single day. We got something for you there. But let's get into the defensive depth chart here now for the Broncos. And take a look at the defensive line first. I like to look at the hogs, the big interior guys. And I also want to decipher a little bit of the different schemes and packages we will see from the Broncos defensively this upcoming season. And when you look at the initial depth chart, that's just out of the Broncos base package, right? So that means that they do have the two outside backers, they have two DNs, one nose tackle, two inside backers, and then they got two cornerbacks and two safeties. That's the Broncos base 3-4 defensive scheme. So I'm going to read off what the depth chart is in the base 3-4 scheme, and then I'm going to go off of the nickel package, which changes everything drastically for this Broncos team. So starting off at defensive end, Shelby Harris, the Broncos veteran that's been an impact player, has been one of the most reliable clutch players in the final moments of a game in the last couple years, intercepting Ben Roethlisberger in the red zone, getting his hand, you know, batting down a Derek Carr pass week 17 last year to secure a Broncos victory in the season finale with Drew Locke, where he'd go 4-1 as a starter. Shelby Harris is very monumental for this Broncos team, and he's going to be starting at defensive end this season for the Broncos. Then you go to the nose tackle position. He's going to be playing either a one technique, a 2-I, or a 0. He's going to play head up on the center. And that's Mike Purcell, local Colorado product that really came into the Broncos starting lineup last season and made a big difference on the interior against the run. So Purcell returns to that role for the Broncos in 2020. And then the offseason acquisition via trade, Jarrell Casey coming over from the Tennessee Titans. And luckily for the Broncos, and if you're a Broncos fan, one thing you're excited about is that Casey gets to face his former team this upcoming week against Tennessee. To kick off the season, that's great. It could be a great tone setter, not only just for the Broncos defensively, but it gives Jarrell Casey a little bit more fire there overall. But backing up Shelby Harris is Draymond Jones, who really emerged last year for the Broncos, came a big one, a defensive player of the week in the AFC against the Detroit Lions, and he proved that he could play at the NFL level. Was a key special teams guy for the first part of the season and then found his way onto the field, and now he's got a long-term role for this Broncos team, and he's going to be a great insurance policy if anything were to happen injury-wise with Shelby Harris, or if he leaves next season for free agency and goes to another team. Draymond Jones is expected to be a starter in 2021. At the nose tackle position, backing up Mike Purcell, you've got McTelvin Ajim, the Broncos' third-round acquisition out of Arkansas. He's had a very nice training camp. He's polished a lot of areas of his game and his technique, and he's going to continue to be a work in progress, but for a rookie, he should be expected to see some time on the football field here in 2020, ladies and gentlemen, so that's going to be very exciting as well. And then behind Jarrell Casey is going to be DeMarcus Walker, who has really found his niche. He made the 53-man roster after the Broncos had traded away Christian Covington to the Cincinnati Bengals for Austin Calitro last week, and so DeMarcus Walker has made the 53-man roster. It's a big year for him. He's going to play some special teams. He's going to play some rotational defensive end for the Broncos, and I think for him, it's a big prove-it year and a contract year overall for him. And then we're going to get to the outside backer. They call it the Sam and the Will. You do have Von Miller as the Sam backer to the strong side of the field almost every time. And then Bradley Chubb's going to be the outside backer in the base 3-4 scheme, the Will backer in terms of the weak side, being on the side where the strength or the tight end, wherever the strength is away from, he's not going to be there. He's going to be on the weak side. And then backing up Von Miller on the strong side is going to be Jeremiah Tauchu, who really fulfilled nicely for the Broncos last season, stepping in, especially when Von had an injury. It was against that Los Angeles Chargers team where he really came out and made a little bit of an impact, was able to get after Phillip Rivers a little bit. So the Broncos, obviously bringing him back, they saw a lot in him, and they hope he can continue to contribute for them in 2020. And then Malik Reed, undrafted free agent out of Nevada, really came onto the scene last year for the Broncos in the preseason, made the active roster, and the trend continues about undrafted guys really finding a role with this Broncos team. Malik Reed was at last year, and the Broncos hope this year could be a Sang Bassey. So we'll talk about the defensive backfield coming up here in just a moment. Then we get to the inside backers, because this is very, very critical. You got Alexander Johnson, and then you got Josie Jewell as the starters at inside. New acquisition, Austin Kalitra will back up Alexander Johnson, and then Mark Barron and Joe Jones will back up Josie Jewell. I imagine Jewell will be a two-down linebacker, and then once it gets on third down passing situation, Mark Barron will come in because of his coverage ability, and then Joe Jones will be one of those last resort type guys. He's still going to play a major role on special teams, but not expect to see a lot of on-field reps here this season for the Broncos. At cornerback, the left cornerback number one is going to be A.J. Boye. Backing him up is Devontae Harris, and then Duke Dawson is going to be the third deep guy at the left cornerback position, backing up obviously Harris and Boye. Right cornerback in Broncos base package is going to be Bryce Callahan. So Callahan and Boye are going to be the starting cornerbacks on the outside in the Broncos 3-4 base. Michael Ojemudia is going to back up Bryce Callahan in the base package, and then we're going to get to obviously what the nickel may look like for the Broncos here in just a second. At strong safety, Kareem Jackson, obviously the starter there. Justin Simmons at free safety. Duke Dawson backing up Kareem Jackson, and Trey Marshall backing up Justin Simmons, which is kind of surprising because Trey Marshall was backing up Kareem Jackson last year, but I believe they want to transition. They want to work a little bit more on Trey Marshall's ability to cover in the open box, and Duke Dawson's one of those guys that can cover but also play heavy in the run, so I could see why they've got Duke Dawson there. So now I want to talk about the Broncos nickel defense, what it will look like, and obviously what the changes are for the Broncos schematically. So when the Broncos go nickel, the only thing that they're going to be doing, they're going to be pulling off one interior down lineman, and they're just going to bring in an extra defensive back. Now, I'm going to relay what I believe the lineup is going to be. You're going to have an outside backer. You're going to have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. Your two defensive linemen, you're going to have two DNs, more likely to be Shelby Harris and Jarrell Casey. And then an inside linebacker, you're going to have Alexander Johnson and Mark Barron in the nickel package. And then for the back end of that secondary, what it's going to look like is A.J. Boye at cornerback, Bryce Callahan inside the slot, and Sang Bassey is going to be backing him up. And then in the cornerback opposite of Boye, you're going to have Michael Ojemudia, Devontae Harris. Right now, I believe that both of those players will rotate series in the nickel to really determine who pulls themselves away from the other one, who gets the most separation in that ongoing battle. Obviously, Ojemudia, rookie. Devontae Harris, fresh in the game as well. So those guys will battle, I think, for the first couple of weeks until one really cements himself as the guy, and then that person will be the starter in the nickel package at the cornerback position. Then Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson top off the Broncos 11-man defense and nickel. Then, if you really wanted to get tricky, you wanted to go dime, you'd take out another defensive lineman, and then you add in another defensive back, and you're going to have two slot guys. More likely, it's going to be Bryce Callahan and Sang Bassey. You have A.J. Boye, Michael Ojemudia, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, and then your defensive lineman will probably be Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and Jarrell Casey. And then obviously your inside backers, Alexander Johnson and Mark Barron. So the Broncos have a lot of lineups that they can play with this upcoming season. I'm excited to see how Vic Fangio decides to utilize the personnel, especially against some of the spread teams and against some of the stronger running football teams that the Broncos will face this upcoming season. Well, Broncos Country coming up here in just a moment. We're going to interact with Broncos Country. They sent their tweets in at Cody Rourke NFL about some of the surprises through their perspective about the Broncos depth chart that was released yesterday officially by DenverBroncos.com. You want to check it out, go ahead and do so. I've also got a spreadsheet. If you want access to that spreadsheet, please let me know. But before we get into that, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you guys to check out the Locked On Nuggets podcast hosted by Adam Mattis and Matt Moore. The Denver Nuggets over the weekend tied up the series 1-1 with a big win over the Los Angeles Clippers. But yesterday, the Nuggets and the Clippers did battle once again in Game 3. Did the Nuggets go up 2-1, or did they fall down 1-2, and are they facing some adversity in the series? Well, check out the Locked On Nuggets podcast for more information. So far on today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, we've recapped the Broncos offensive depth chart. We've recapped the Broncos defensive depth chart. Some of the different packages the Broncos can run with the personnel that they have on the football field this upcoming season, especially being 6 days away from the Tennessee Titans coming to town for Monday Night Football. We are 2 days away from NFL football with the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday. I'm excited. I know you guys are all excited as well. And we're going to have a lot to talk about every single day here, Lockdown Broncos, Monday through Friday on your favorite podcast provider. But let's get into a little bit of a nitty gritty here. Let's talk with some listeners around Broncos country who gave their feedback, provided their thoughts on some of the surprises that they had regarding the Denver Broncos depth chart that was released yesterday. We're going to start things off with Craig Kennicott. He says Bryce Callahan is the number two punt returner. And yes, that is what is shown right now on the Broncos depth chart at punt returner. You've got Deontay Spencer as the primary guy. And then the number two guy behind him, you do have Bryce Callahan. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Callahan does have the ability to go back and return, and this would be more than likely an emergency situation if Deontay Spencer were to get hurt for the Broncos. Instead of running all these different personnel, different people out on the football field, they can drop Bryce Callahan back from the corner spot. They can drop him all the way back to return. More than likely, his job would be to fair catch it, to make sure it doesn't bounce inside the 10, and that if it's going to bounce, make sure it goes out of the back of the end zone. So it's really going to be one of those emergency roles, and I imagine that as some guys get more acclimated, they'll probably change that up a little bit, especially for the Broncos, who really want to keep Bryce Callahan on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, definitely seeing that was definitely a surprise. Scott Coleman, he says, got to be that they plan on starting 13 players. Now, initially, if you go to the Broncos depth chart on DenverBroncos.com, they've got the quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, right tackle, every position, and then they have fullback there as well. And then because they have two players at the running back position with Gordon and Lindsey showing there, and then fullback, technically, they got 13 players there, but it depends on the package that the Broncos are going to go on. There's never going to be 13 players on the field. But yeah, Scotty Coleman, my man all the way down there in Arizona. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for listening to Lockdown Broncos every single day. Dallas Jeter comes up, and he says, I didn't realize how important Joe Jones was to the Broncos special teams. He doesn't really play much on defense, does he? And to be honest with you, no, we don't really expect to see too much of Joe Jones on the Broncos defense this year in terms of defensive on-field reps. However, I do want to go back to the Baltimore Ravens game in 2018. Broncos on the road there playing against Joe Flacco, where he really looked elite against him. It was a really rough game for the Broncos overall, a game that Philip Lindsay got kicked out of for throwing a punch, but he never threw a punch, and they ruled that he should never been kicked out. So that was one thing to, you know, going back and revisit. But Joe Jones, he was a big special teams guy there. I remember he had blocked a punt, if I'm not mistaken, and he put the Broncos in a great field position. And then I believe Josie Jewell got hurt, and then so Joe Jones played quite a bit in that Baltimore Ravens game. Did a pretty good job as a coverage guy and also filling the run gaps as a linebacker. But he's really just been a key special teams guy, likely to be the special teams captain once again for the Broncos here in 2020. But yeah, Joe Jones is one of those important guys you want to have on your roster if you absolutely need a depth player. Joe Jones is the right guy for it. 2020 underscore Broncos on Twitter says, Patrick as the co-starter with Judy. I thought Judy would distance himself as the wide receiver too. And Judy has. Judy is clearly and evidently by far the Broncos' number two wide receiver behind Cortland Sutton. However, as I mentioned earlier, the way that the Broncos have it on the depth chart, because it's 11 personnel, they're not going to have three wide receiver spots just to go through the depth chart. So on the wide receiver depth chart on the Broncos website, they have wide receiver. Jerry Judy's the number two guy, and then Tim Patrick's the number three guy, because the Broncos will run out of 11 personnel, which is one running back, one tight end, and three wide receivers that are going to be on the field, and those are the three starters at that position there. Nadav Amar is up next. He says, why is Hamler not involved in the return game? Well, you know, one of the biggest reasons is he's got to get healthy first, and also because of his status as a second-round draft pick, the Broncos want to focus him more as an offensive weapon. You know, not a guy that's going to be a key cog of their offense, but a guy that when he's on the football field, defensive coordinators have to pay attention to where he's lined up. And when you put him just on special teams, if you put him on kick return, you put him on punt return, the chances of getting injured amplify a little bit for returners, because there is a nature where your guy who's covering the gunner misses his block. This guy comes down full speed and just blasts you. That's what happened to Deshaun Hamilton a couple years ago. So you don't want to put a guy who's a second round draft pick in that type of position. He's also got to get more acclimated with the offense, obviously missing time at practice due to his hamstring. He's just got to be able to get in the offensive side of the ball, and maybe he can evolve eventually into a role on special teams. But right now, the Broncos got a good returner in Deontay Spencer. At London Av, Brad says, Lloyd Cushenberry starting at center. It shows how good of a camp he has had. And he has had a very, very strong camp, folks. And that's something that, you know, we've seen when he received a bulk of the first team reps through a majority of the last 3 weeks at Broncos camp. and now he transitions into being the starter there. So obviously great for Lloyd Cushenberry. The Broncos have a pretty good backup behind him, and Austin Schlottman, who's really proven his value, has been one of the more impressive players of training camp so far in 2020. He's really taken his game to the next level. He's been working a lot with Matt McChesney at 6-0 strength in Colorado as well. So, you know, hats off to Austin Schlottman. He's been a player that has really turned around, in my opinion, sharpened up some of his technique, and could be one of those surprise players that the Broncos may have to rely on at some point down the road here in 2020 or maybe even the next season. So obviously rooting for Austin Schlottman. He's put in the work to be where he is at. Our final one comes in from at the real Dustin 12. He says, one of the biggest surprises was Dotson not starting. This wasn't a surprise to me, because once the Broncos brought in Damar Dotson after Juwan James had opted out, the expectation was loud and clear that the Broncos expected, and they had penciled in, Elijah Wilkinson to be the starter at right tackle. Vic Fangio said it was Wilkinson's job to lose, and Wilkinson has actually turned in a pretty impressive camp. There's some areas he's still got to continue to improve on, and I think a lot of people are looking at the fact that Von Miller had gotten the best of him in reps as a bad thing. Look, it's a great test for a guy like Elijah Wilkinson to go against a guy like Von Miller every single day in practice, because it's going to make him better. Von Miller has given those offensive linemen, specifically he's given Wilkinson some tips and some pointers about, hey, if you do this, based on if you step too far to this side, here's what I'm going to do if I'm in a pass rusher. You know, here's what I'm going to do if you go to extend and put your hands on me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to knock your hand down, swipe, and maybe even bend the corner. So, you know, Wilkinson is the best guy for the job right here for the Broncos, 25 years old, and has a potential long-term future in Denver. Damar Dotson's just a veteran guy that if the Broncos absolutely need him, he is available there, and he's continuing to learn the playbook as well. But he beat out Jake Rogers, because for a while, Dotson was just getting 13 reps at Broncos camp. Now he's the backup to Elijah Wilkinson. If there's an injury to Garrett Bowles or anything along those lines, the Broncos could move some guys around. If there's an injury at guard, the Broncos could move some guys around. If they're not necessarily sold just yet on Natani Muti being ready to play, if a guard were to go down or if Schlottman had to step in another position, the Broncos have all these linemen. They could just shuffle around in different spots while preserving the offensive continuity, keeping Reisner at the left guard and then Cushenberry at center, so on and so forth. The Broncos have a lot of options. But Broncos country, thank you so much for your tweets at Cody Rourke NFL and the YouTube channel at Cody Rourke NFL. I just did a film breakdown on a Saint Bassey, and we're going to start bringing in more film review. We've got The Drive, we've got Cover 4, and we also have our Denver Broncos film room returning to the YouTube channel, Cody Rourke NFL. We're over 2,000 subscribers, and the videos keep coming out. So obviously, as the season progresses, we got week-to-week action video format here alongside Lockdown Broncos, which can be heard every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There is a brand new episode of Lockdown Broncos, and if you're not listening to it every single day, you need to change that by listening to us every single morning on your drive to work, whether you get home and you're making dinner. Tune in to Lockdown Broncos Monday through Friday for the best news, content, analysis, and coverage from an X's and O's standpoint, attacking every angle for the Broncos in the 2020 NFL season. But with that said, Broncos country, I'm Cody Rourke, your host of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. You can catch me back here tomorrow, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the podcast at Lockdown Broncos. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasting to love the show, head over there right now and leave us a 5-star review and tell us why you listen to Lockdown Broncos every single day. With that said, Broncos country, see you tomorrow.